I want to apologize to anybody who came today on Palm Sunday and expected to hear the message about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The Spirit led me in a different direction, and you'll hear all about that today. I tend to follow where He leads me and not where I think it should be. It's just safer that way. So, I want to talk to you about being in God's secret service, because basically you kind of feel like that every once in a while. And like the secret service walks around with the earpiece, I feel kind of like one right now, but I have a speaker instead of a, yeah. You walk around and we have something that He's given us that basically lets Him communicate with us, through us, and about Him. And it is the Holy Spirit. Now, I've been here for a few years, and we don't hear a lot about the Holy Spirit up here on the pulpit, but He is very important. It is a Trinity. It's God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit we hear about when it was given after Christ returned to heaven, but the Holy Spirit's been with us since the beginning. Before the beginning. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit has been given to individuals who were anointed by God. David was said to be full of the Holy Spirit. And any of the prophets that God has chosen were thus gifted with the Holy Spirit in order to deliver His messages. When Jesus did leave, though, He gave that Spirit available to all. Not just people who were specially singled out to be God's messengers. He made it so that we can all be His messengers. So that we can all understand the Father. And in his place, since He could no longer be with us in the flesh, the Spirit came to be in our flesh. So that no matter where we go or where we end up, what darkness we walk through, He's always with us, and we're never alone. We're never unarmed. We're never at the mercy of the evil one, because we are equipped with the Spirit of God. Now, the Spirit of God was with Him at creation. In Genesis 1:1 through 2, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." He was there before the creation. And He was there when Mary received the child of Jesus. For it says in Luke 1:35, "The angel answered her, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" The Holy Spirit was involved in the conception of Jesus. That's another big milestone for us. I can't deny that He was there. The Bible says He was there. The Bible said it was through Him that it happened. Jesus came up to John. And He was baptized, beginning of His ministry. And from the heavens, the Holy Spirit came down upon Him in the form of a dove. At that moment, He had all the power that He gave to us later. He had a direct connection. He was God, but He also now had the Holy Spirit on Him and in Him, and He could give it as He chose. Because it says in Luke 3:22, "And the Holy Spirit descended on Him in bodily form like a dove," like I said, "and the voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased.'" God chose Him, as He did His prophets before, to be a vessel of His Holy Spirit. So much so that if Jesus needed the Holy Spirit in order to complete God's will, so do we. It's important. People worry about the Holy Spirit. You know, you hear some people talk about, you know, when you're full of the Holy Spirit, it'll be evidenced by tongues and prophecy, but that's not required. That scares people away, because if they don't have that gift when it's given, people kind of shy away from the Holy Spirit. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. It seems kind of hokey. But I don't want people to think that way, and neither does God. The Holy Spirit gives you gifts as He sees fit, when He sees fit, and what He sees fit to give you. He gives you what you need in the time that you're in. A little bit like Q. Remember, if anybody's ever watched 007, not exactly the most Christian of movies, to be fair, but this guy sits behind a desk and has all kinds of tools, gadgets, lasers, watches that shoot, you know, all kinds of things. These are the kinds of things that God wants to give us, not lasers, but tools that we can use to accomplish our mission, His mission, on the earth. And they are amazing. People don't understand how they work, why they work, but He gives them all to us freely. And we can access them whenever we choose and whenever He deems it necessary. So there's no fear in walking around with the tools God has given us. It's good. But sometimes, I know myself, many times, I feel more like this guy. Now, for you older folks, I don't know if your kids ever watched Inspector Gadget, but he's kind of a secret investigator, and he's bionic. He's loaded up with all kinds of gadgets. Some of them seem stupid, like a squirting flower up here, you know, but he has no control over them. He doesn't understand them or how to use them. We don't want to be like Inspector Gadget. We want to understand what they are, what the Spirit does, and how we are to best, I wouldn't want to say utilize it, but commune with it so we can work cooperatively together. Now, the Spirit is my friend, and He tells me to do a lot of things. I don't always want to do them. Kind of like writing this sermon for today. He says, talk about me, but it's Palm Sunday. Well, guess what? First thing we got to need to know is, what does the Spirit do? What is it? What's its purpose? Why did God feel that we need to have the Spirit? Can't we just go on and read the Bible and just kind of know with what we've learned, with what we've read, with what people have told us? He said that's not good enough. So, here's what the Spirit will do for us. It exalts Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, it says, therefore I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And then in John 15:26, when the Advocate comes, which would be the Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who gives out from the Father, He will testify about me. So what it's saying here is, the Spirit in you tells you the truth about Jesus. When you come to church, we know that Jesus is Lord. We know that He is sacrificed. We believe it. And it's the Spirit who confirms that in us. The Spirit who gives us that confidence to say, yeah, I believe this, while the world says you're nuts. The world says a lot of things that are nuts. But that marks us as well. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Well, the second thing that the Holy Spirit does is it convicts us. This may be one of the most unpleasant aspects of the Holy Spirit, but it convicts us in our spirits of our sins. It convicts us of the things that we hold on to, that we fester on. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. So the Spirit comes into you and convicts you of the truth. It convicts you of your failings. It convicts you of anything, and it's what tells you that something's wrong. That's basically what it's trying to say here. When God forbid anybody would, you know, involve themselves with some kind of sin, you know it's wrong. Even if you've never done it before, never heard it was a sin, you know it's wrong. And it's the Spirit that communicates to us that's wrong. You know, it convicts us. It's the one that is always with us telling us the will of God, because the world doesn't know it. We know it. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, it also regenerates you. I guess I could go down one too far. People that you talk to who receive the Holy Spirit feel like they've received it. It gives you a feeling of power, like it's flowing through you, like something exciting just happened. It's part of being born again. And it gives you the strength to go out. It gives you the strength to speak God and His Word to people. In Titus 3:5, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. It's in the Bible, folks. He basically sends the Spirit when we are born again to give us new strength in Him. That when we come to God, we often are downtrodden. We are beaten down by life and all the terrible things that drove us to the point where we were. And when we come to God, He gives us the Spirit to lift us out of that place, to regenerate our spirits, our hearts, and our minds. It's a wonderful gift, and I have to hold on to that memory and continually live it daily when I feel beaten down and when I'm tired, when I don't feel like I can get up and physically do the things. He's there with me, and He says, just do it. And somewhere I find the strength. Now, the Holy Spirit resides within us. It's all over the Bible. We've all heard it. But just to confirm it, in 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that has been entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Like I said before, we carry Him with us everywhere we go. He's in our skin, in our blood, everywhere. We can't escape Him. We can't hide from Him. We can't be taken away from Him either. So if we're dragged into a place we don't want to be, we've taken Him with us. They can't separate us. God is always with us, and we are never alone. The Holy Spirit also seals the believers. Too far. Where am I? Okay. It says, the presence of the Spirit can be perceived by all who look upon a believer and marks us as belonging to God. You ever look at a Christian who's really a Christian? You just know it. You can see it in their face, in the way they carry themselves. You don't even know why. You just see people and go, that person's a Christian. Is that kind of funny? They don't look any different than they did before they became Christians, before they accepted God. I mean, they might dress a little nicer, not to, you know, wear crop tops and crazy stuff. But you can just see them and you can tell. We all change when we find Christ. because he pours his Spirit into us. And his Spirit is in us from head to toe. And that Spirit looks like Jesus. And though we may not perceive it ourselves, the face of Jesus is behind our own. And oftentimes that's what people are seeing. They see us and they recognize our physical forms, but then they see Jesus behind our eyes. And they know that we're different somehow. It's a strange thing. I used to see it when I wasn't a Christian. I'd be like, oh, I can tell right now. But it seals us. It makes us stand out as belonging to him. And of course, you know, even in Revelations they talk about, you know, God's people are sealed. That's how we're sealed. It's not a mystery. It says it in the Bible previously. It says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's how God identifies us when he comes to end this place. I want to make sure I have it. I want to make sure I have it. There was a church in the Bible. I can't remember the name of it at the moment. This isn't in my notes. I'm just bringing this out because it's coming to me. That Paul talked to, and he couldn't figure out why they were unsuccessful and why things were going poorly for them and why they couldn't understand the teachings and the Word of God. And he turned out, he asked them, he says, have you been baptized with the Spirit? And they said, we don't even know what the Spirit is. So these people, baptized by John the Baptist in the name of the Father by water, were Christians, and they lived the Christian life, and they did all the things that they were supposed to do, but they did not know the Spirit. By their own admission, we don't even know what it is. So it's important that we seek the Spirit. It's not an automatic gimme. You know, most of us, when we're baptized, they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's a good thing, because the Holy Spirit's involved. So you receive him at that time. But those who weren't, who have never been baptized in the name of the Spirit, probably think we're crazy. They're Christian too. They know everything I know, except for what God tells me directly through the Spirit. And I walk around and I know things I shouldn't know, and I can do things I shouldn't be able to do, and they don't know why they can't. You need to seek the Spirit. You need to invite him in. You need to come forward, say, I don't have the Spirit, to someone who does. And they can lay hands on you. Not crazy Pentecostal, you know, screaming and waving and throwing snakes on you. I'm talking, you know, put their hand and pray for you to receive the blessing and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not weird. It's not crazy. It's something biblical. And we skip that far too often. Another thing that my friend Rick over here can attest to is the Holy Spirit prompts us to worship and praise. You ever sit in the car and you're driving along and you're listening into the Wish or whatever it is you're listening to? They don't play my music on the Wish. I have to bring mine with me. Something just moves you and you got to sing and you get excited. Rick's always excited when he's praising and worshiping. You know all about that. But that's the Spirit in you. You don't get excited about other things quite that much. But when God's involved, it wells up in you and he can't hold himself back. And neither should you. Sure, it can be embarrassing, you know. Karen's poked me in the eyes quite a few times. She doesn't hold back. And you can see when somebody surrenders themselves to the Holy Spirit in that way. Just miracles all the time, constantly happening in your life. But that's what we need to be doing. We need to open ourselves to the Spirit. We need to let God work in us in every way he can imagine. God's done things that are so strange to me, and I don't wait for an audible voice from God. He can, he will, but most of the voice that you hear is from the Spirit. It whispers to you. It kind of feels like your conscience. You do have a conscience on your own. The Holy Spirit makes quite a better conscience than the one I have. He talks to me. He says, you know, do this or do that. Make a right turn here instead. And most people go, I'm nuts, and just keep on going. You know what happens when you make that right turn? When you stop at that place, when you jump out of your car and ask somebody if they need help, he's almost always right. It's amazing. You'd be surprised at the things you know when God tells you. When that Spirit speaks to you, says, do this. We are an agent of God at that point, where we can affect the world in great and mighty ways that no one may never see. But I'm in cooperation with the Father, and he speaks to me through his Spirit. Into my ear, he whispers, this is the way to go. He also empowers us for witness. So, when he does tell you to go, stop, talk to this person. You can talk to this person in confidence. I may not know anything about what's going on in their lives or the right thing to say to somebody for a certain situation, but God knows, and he uses his Spirit to tell me. He comes and he tells me things that I shouldn't know. Things that have never been spoken aloud by whomever I'm talking to. Things that are amazing to them when I say it. And it's happened far too often to be coincidence. Too many times. You talk to somebody, you know what their problem is. You know how they feel. You know what to do about it. If you're my wife, people come and talk to you. Just because you radiate that look of a Christian and you're willing to let God do what he does, God will use you more and more. He'll speak to you louder and more completely. You won't just be getting quips and little snippets of things that you're willing to listen to. He'll tell you what's going on, and people will flock toward you by his urging. I don't know how many strangers we've met in Walmart who just tell us their life story, who come in and you're like, what is it about her? I don't get it. You know, people will tell everything to her. But that happens because God sends them to her, because he knows that she will listen to them, to what he tells her to do. Him, her, it, whatever. And so God trusts her to do the right thing, to listen to the Spirit. She prays for people. She doesn't remember what she said. And some people find that odd. Well, how do you not remember? Well, she doesn't remember because she lets the Spirit guide her. It speaks through her. It speaks through us, all of us. If we let it. Some people pray and they sound like an amazing speech writer, using all the big words. I like 25 cent words, but that's just me because it explains things better. But they pray like passionately and they know what to pray for. Some of you have been prayed for by some people that seem to know what's going on when nobody's ever told them. The thing is, somebody has told them, and that was the Spirit inside of them. And that Spirit tells us what to say when we're praying, the right words, the right things to pray for. All you have to do is let it. Now, what happens when I am grief-stricken and I don't know what to do and I'm so out of sorts that my guts are tied up and I can't even speak? What does the Spirit do for me then? Get angry. But the Spirit takes everything in your heart, your groaning, your grunts, your crying, your snotty face, and he talks to God and says, this is what he needs. He speaks for you. He takes all of these things and he turns them into an eloquent, beautiful poem before God. And God says, thank you. It's truly what's in your heart. And the Spirit translates that for us to the ear of the Father. So when I say I can't pray, well, I can't pray so people can hear me and understand me. I may stumble over my words. I might not even know what to say. But it does it for me. And so I'm connected to God still, always. I'm just going to forget the slideshow. The Holy Spirit gives life to our mortal bodies. When the resurrection of the human race comes, it's the Spirit that gives us life to our bodies again. In Romans 15:16, it says, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. Because we have the Spirit in us, it drives us every day to become holy. On our own, we would never do it. On our own, we couldn't do it. People who read the Bible that are not Christians, who don't have the Spirit in them, don't understand it. It's like a lot of Jesus' parables. Things he speaks in, they don't get it. They hang on words and little things, and they say, what kind of moron are you? I'm friend with a lot of atheists, and they tend to talk to me like that a lot. And you have to come back with them and say, you know what? You can say what you want, but I don't expect you to understand. Because the Spirit works kind of like a decoder pin. And I use it to understand the will of God in his word. He shows me what the meaning is, where the contradictions aren't really contradictions, where the parables mean this or that. Sure, I can read books written by other people and get their views of what it means. But at the same time, do I limit myself by what man has said, what another person's interpretation is, or do I listen to the Spirit in me that will interpret it in the situation that I'm in now? I'd rather know particularly for me, not for some guy who lives in, you know, Jersey that had a problem and got an interpretation, and now he's telling everybody that's what it is. I found that passages in the Bible can have different meanings to me at different times. I'm sure most of us have. I've read that passage 100 times, but this time I got something different out of it. It's because the Spirit gave you something different out of it. Without it, what can we hope to learn but the words themselves? What we need to learn is the truth and that aspect of God which gives us hope. So I have to tell you, we need to be filled with the Spirit because he's our guide and our anchor to God. In the Bible, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, grieving the Holy Spirit is called the unforgivable sin. Most people don't know what grieving the Holy Spirit means. What happens? What do you do when you grieve somebody? Basically, you're speaking against them. You're accusing them. You're talking them down. People that talk down the Holy Spirit, that's going to be a hard day for you. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know of any way out of it. Since I've found the Holy Spirit working in my life, I've never really wanted to talk him down. So Are we really in danger of doing so? I'm not sure. Some people have turned from God in anger and cursed Jesus. But at that point, if they've turned from God, do they truly have the Spirit and know of Him enough to curse Him? Question for the day. Something to think about. So all you need to do is pray for the Spirit and pray for Him to come in more abundance if you've already found Him. Listen to Him. Pray for a stronger filling of the Spirit. God will give it freely. It's been given freely. Jesus sent Him here for us so that we can know God better, since He was no longer able to be here with us in the flesh. He's with us through the Spirit of God. Like I said, it's not your typical Palm Sunday sermon this morning, but the Spirit led me to do this, and about halfway through took over, and most of that wasn't on my notes. So, to be fair, practice what you preach, I suppose, literally.